Welcome to the Word and Spirit Podcast with Reverend Randall Greer. Before we join Reverend Greer, let me tell you about our website. RandallGreer.org is filled with information that is sure to be a blessing to you, including free downloads of MP3s, videos, Bible studies, newsletters, and other materials. That address again is www.randallgreer.org. Greer is spelled G-R-I-E-R. Now, let's go to Reverend Greer.
That the Lord has sent me over here. The Lord loves you. It don't matter how far you've gone and how many things you've done wrong. The Lord loves you. And I want to say this carefully. I know we got children here, but she said this. She said, to hell with the Lord. I don't want nothing to do with him. I'm not cussing now. And kids, don't be saying that. Excuse me. I'm just saying what this is what he saw in the vision. He said, I don't want nothing to do with the Lord. And Brother Hagin saw that dot move from her head down into her spirit. And Jesus said, now, she's totally demon-possessed. Says, my spirit, the Holy Spirit, has left her because she made the choice that she didn't want me anymore. So Dad Hagin said to the Lord, he said, now, Lord, he said, why are you showing me this vision? Why are you showing me this lady? He said, do you want me to cast the devil out of her? He said, no, that's not why I'm showing you the vision. He said, you couldn't cast the devil out of her anyway. He said, well, why, Lord? He said, because she wants that devil. As long as she wants that devil, he said, you can't make it leave her. He said, is that right, Lord? He said, that's right. He said, well, why are you showing me this vision? He said, because she is harassing my servant, who is her ex-husband, harassing his church and harassing his ministry. And he said, I want you to take authority over that evil spirit that's operating through her and command that spirit in my name. Say, you foul, harassing spirit that's operating through so-and-so, and called her name. Said, I command you to stop harassing my servant and call Pastor so-and-so's name now in the name of Jesus. And Brother Hagin saw that spirit stop immediately. And from that day forward, that spirit did not harass this pastor that used to be her husband from that day forward. Then Brother Hagin asked the Lord. He said, Lord, he said, what's going to happen to this lady? And the Lord replied sadly. He said, she'll spend eternity in the region of the damned, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. And he said, but Lord, what, why? Why did she, wasn't she your servant? Didn't she serve you? Wasn't she filled with the Holy Ghost? Wasn't she born again? He said, yes. He said, but she made the choice to willfully turn her back on me and say that she didn't want me anymore. He said, because she made that choice, he said, I cannot force her to want me. He said, now, this lady has committed the unpardonable sin. And he said, Lord, what do you mean by committing the unpardonable sin? He said, if this lady, talking about this lady, had have been dispressed. He said, Jesus said to Brother Hagin, he said, if this lady had committed adultery with 100 men and turned and asked me to forgive her, I'd have forgave her every time. In fact, there's probably been no limit to it. He said, but she never asked for forgiveness. She just got harder and harder and harder. She hardened herself and said, I don't want nothing to do with the Lord anymore. And he said, well, Lord, how does a person commit the unpardonable sin? What I'm going to do, I hadn't planned on doing all this, but since I done got this far, look out, here we go. Because I want to help people too. As a baby Christian and an immature Christian, people could not commit the unpardonable sin. You could not commit the unpardonable sin if you're a baby Christian or immature Christian. See, just because you've been born again for 40 years... I'm going to smile. Don't mean you're a mature Christian. And after you hear this story, you might not want to be one. You know what I mean? But Jesus, and I'm going to read you just so people understand. Baby Christians cannot commit the unpardonable sin. In fact, Jesus said this about it. And I'm going to read you some things out of this book just so that I clarify this point, because that's why I hesitated to share the story. Because when you get to sharing some of these stories, people, you know, the devil jumps on people's shoulders and starts telling them, look, you committed a sin. Oh, you're on your way to hell. You're going to spend your eternity in the region of the damned. And he gets you over there in fear and trembling and all this stuff here, where they be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You might as well gnash them now. You know? He'll tell you all that kind of stuff. So we have to cover the whole issue if we're going to talk about it. Because why? That don't mean you're going to hell just because you committed a sin. Now, you don't need to be signing up to go, though. You know what I mean? And that's what this lady did. She signed up to go. You don't need to sign up to go. You need to sign up to go to heaven. But I remember I turned down the page. Let me see where this particular part was at. Yes. You want me to just read part of it to you? Is that all right? Is that okay? Just to clarify it. Because I don't want anybody to leave tonight thinking that they're going to hell or something like that. We got a bus out there if you're ready to get. No. I am joking. We got a heavenly bus if you want to get on that. But I want to clarify this because, you know, there is an idea. Will I blow up anything down here? Sound department. I'm going to be all right. He throws his hands in the air and give it a shot, you know. So I get translated here. Y'all just come where I'm at. That's all I can tell you. But there is an idea that goes on in the body of Christ. I don't know how it's entrenched in this area of the United States or Pennsylvania or this area of West Decatur. But it's entrenched across America, and it has to be dealt with. And most folks don't want to deal with it. Even I don't want to deal with it. Pastors certainly don't want to deal with it. We don't want to deal with it. Traveling ministers don't want to deal with it. But it's this doctrine that's not Bible. It's called once saved, always saved. That is unbiblical. Once saved, always saved is all true if you stay saved. But if you make a willful choice, I'm not talking about just because you slip and trip and sin. This lady made a willful choice, and I'm going to read you this because that's why I was sidestepping this story. But I seen it was necessary for us to go that way, so I'm going to read you the whole story so Jesus explains it himself and not me, because I'll guarantee he can make better sense out of it than I do. Somebody said, amen. I know he can. So I'm going to read you word for word what Jesus said about the unpardonable sin so there'll be no question. But the doctrine, it's a demonic doctrine that says once saved, always saved. You know, you get sprinkled as a baby and then you're saved the rest of your life. There's nowhere in the Bible that says if you're sprinkled as a baby, you're saved the rest of your life. Nowhere. There's not a scripture anywhere that says that. And there's not a scripture in the Bible that says once saved, always saved. Now, I believe once saved, always saved, if you stay saved. Yes, just you live the lifestyle. And listen, that don't mean you got to, you know, never do anything wrong or slip and trip, you know, to go to heaven. Because Jesus is merciful. And certainly we got 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, that says if we sin, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins. That was written to Christians, not to sinners. Sinners, when they get saved, can't repent of their sins. Why? Because they don't know how many they got. I'm talking about individual. They may have 10,000. How could they name every one of them? But when they get born again, it's a package deal, and it don't matter what's back there, it's gone. It's washed in the blood. But after you get born again, and you know you sin, and the more mature you get in the Lord, the more you see that you got a few faults and mistakes. Or you do, you know what I mean? I wouldn't, you know what? Excuse me. But anyway, that's why 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 is in there. He said, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So once saved, always saved, ladies and gentlemen, is not true. It's not true. There's not a scripture in the Bible that you can prove to me that says that. I can show you scriptures in the Bible where Esau sold his birthright for a bowl of porridge. It's a type and shadow, if you go over in Hebrews, of a person, you know, and it talks about the 10 virgins, five wise and five foolish. And the bridegroom came. And the ones that had oil in their lamps, they was ready to meet the bridegroom. And the ones that wasn't, they wasn't ready. Isn't that right? Well, let me just read what Jesus said about this. He said, Lord, what will happen to her? This is where Brother Hagin's asking about this lady. He's already dealt with the spirits and everything. He says, Lord, what will happen to her, I ask? She will spend eternity in the regions of the damned. This is words of Jesus. Where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth, he answered. And in the vision, I saw her go down into the pit. I heard her awful screams. This woman was your child, Lord, Brother Hagin said. She was filled with your spirit and had part in the ministry. Yet you said not to pray for her. I cannot understand this. The Lord reminded me of the following scripture. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. That's found in 1 John chapter 5, verse 16. I said, but Lord, and this is Dad Hagin speaking, I have always believed that the sin referred to in this scripture that he just read is physical death, and that the person is saved although he has sinned. But that scripture doesn't say physical death, the Lord pointed out. It says you are adding something to it. Says, if you'll read the entire fifth chapter of 1 John, you will see that it's talking about life and death. Spiritual life and spiritual death. This is spiritual death. This refers to a believer who can sin a sin unto death. And therefore, I say that you shall not pray for it. I told you not to pray for this woman because she sinned a sin unto death. Spiritual death. Death. That's what he's pointing out. Says, this really disturbs my theology, Lord. And that's what Brother Hagin responded. Says, would you explain some more? I ask. Sometimes we need our theology disrupted if it's not in line with the Word. Jesus reminded me of the following scripture. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 through 6. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted the good word of God, and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open shame. Yes, I know that scripture, but my denomination said that those who were once enlightened does not refer to Christians. It means lost persons who get under conviction. The Lord said, remember, I told you this woman was my child. She was filled with the Holy Spirit. She had part in the ministry. You will notice that the scripture says it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift. I am the heavenly gift. A man under conviction is enlightened, but he has not tasted of me. The Word of God says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, in John 3:16. I am, and this is Jesus speaking, I am the heavenly gift. And the man under conviction has not tasted of the heavenly gift. He sees his lost condition, and he sees that he can be saved. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And that's found in Romans 6:23. No one has tasted the heavenly gift, the gift of God, until he has received eternal life by accepting me as Lord and Savior. Notice the words in this scripture. And were made partakers of the Holy Ghost. So this woman had been baptized in the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God. That's in Hebrews 6, 4 and 5. Or as the Phillips translation reads, who have known the wholesome nourishment of the Word of God. In other words, baby Christians cannot commit the sin unto death. Whew. We all got it made. I'm throwing me in there too. We got it made.
Thank you for joining us for the Word and Spirit podcast. I just want to take a moment to tell you about two of Reverend Greer's products available on our website. First is his personal testimony, Escape from Hell, which details the events that led up to him miraculously being released from prison, receiving a full pardon with the right to own a firearm, and stepping into his calling of God. This is available as a book, CD, or DVD format. Second is Reverend Greer's second book, How to Change Your Life. This book will show you how to bring permanent change in your life through the power of God. And once you've changed, change will bring success. These products, as well as many more, can be found on our online store at www.randallgreer.org or by writing us at Randall Greer Ministries, P.O. Box 140516, Broken Arrow, Oklahoma 74014. Thanks for joining us for the Word and Spirit podcast with Reverend Randall Greer. Join us here next time as Reverend Greer brings forth the Word of God in Word and Spirit. And remember, God is with us.